In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
Day at Inview's house in Holborn.
It's Art Deco. We got it in Barcelona on our first anniversary. There's no point hanging it in the cottage if we never spend any time there.
Yeah, the clerk said you were coming home early. He sent a package from the court for your wife.
Yeah, last-minute conference. You can't let them down.
She was looking forward to a nice break, too.
This can wait. She'll need help with the banks. What was that?
The man Dan and the concierge Mike watch a car drive past.
That's your car!
They both run down to an underground car park.
Rachel! Call an ambulance!
Dan's wife Rachel lies on the ground in a pool of blood. Later, the area's a crime scene.
Victim, Rachel Callahan, age 54. A high court judge. Thank you. She lived here for 7 years with her husband, Dan, who's gone to hospital with her.
All right, Pete, what you got? She fell here, took two shots. A stray bullet hit the far wall, looks like a 38.
All this for a car?
Car details have been circulated to all units, and we got Uniform checking the nearby CCTV for a possible photo.
The concierge didn't see his face.
Don't worry, he's going to stand out from the crowd. He found this, red dye gel. You spray the attacker in the eyes, he rubs it all over his face, doesn't wash off for 7 days.
So finally, we might actually catch someone red-handed.
The London skyline by day. Law, Bradley Walsh as DS Ronnie Brooks, a dark-haired 50-something with a level stare. Jamie Bamber as DS Matt Devlin, a handsome 30-something with neat red hair. Harriet Walter as the raven-haired DI Natalie Chandler. The refined architecture of the London Law Courts. Order, Ben Daniels as Senior CP James Steele. Freema Agyeman as Junior CP Alicia Phillips. Bill Patterson as CPS Director George Castle. Law and Order UK. This episode is called Denial. At the Royal Hampton Hospital, Ronnie and Matt are with Dan.
Judge Callahan's car had a GPS tracking device. Get onto them, tell them to activate it.
Either of you smoke?
No, sir.
God, you'd kill me if I started again.
Did you notice anyone acting suspiciously when you got out of the car?
No one.
And your wife was driving, yeah?
No, I was, but we had this mirror, and Rachel suggested I take it in while she parked the car.
Whereabouts were you travelling from?
Lavenham in Suffolk. We've got a cottage there. We came back early. You don't expect this kind of thing to happen on your doorstep.
No.
Mr. Callahan, your wife came through surgery.
Is she going to be okay?
Well, we won't be able to give a clear idea of a prognosis until she stabilises. She is still unconscious. Mr. Callahan,
Dad.
We will...
Oh, God, Linz.
How's Mum? What happened?
She's going to be all right, Linz.
Do you want to come this way?
The police said she'd
be
shot.
Dan and daughter Lindsay head off on the Mortlake Industrial Estate.
The signal from the tracking device stopped here.
Ronnie and Matt meet a uniformed PC.
Where's the car?
Good question.
Your trace led here?
Which is where dismantled this.
What time did you get it?
16:23. I made a note of it.
Very good. Make sure you get hold of the camera footage, yeah?
I reckon maybe he's changed the plates. Nothing gets past me, sir.
Well, nothing gets past PC Griffin, except maybe a stolen Merc. There it is. Time code 1622. That's the Merc going along Heathfield Road. And that's Sherlock going the other way.
There are two men in this car.
He had help. We must have met his psychic at the warehouse.
Can't see their faces, though.
We took a close-up of the plates, though, ran them through PNC. They're cloned.
We can't have women gunned down on their doorstep because of a car.
Well, maybe if she just let him take the car.
Oh, maybe she wasn't thinking straight with a gun to her head.
How much do you love me? ANPR cameras have picked up the Mercedes plates.
Brilliant.
Cars parked in the city.
So, why are you still here?
Oh, keep going, as you could be the third Mrs. Brooks.
Or the first Mrs. Devney.
On Bread Street, Matt and Ronnie have stopped a Merc driver.
43452077781.
House! That's the judge's motor.
Look, it's mine. I've got the documents.
Good. You can bring them to the station with you.
Yeah, we got the Merc. Get forensics on it straight away.
At the HQ.
I didn't know the papers were forged. I had no idea it was stolen.
You just thought you met a very generous car dealer. A brand new Mercedes-Benz, market price 56 grand, and you get it for 8? Come on, Nick.
When did you buy it? Yesterday.
Who did you buy it from?
I don't know his name.
And what did he look like? Okay, all these people are on file with a stolen vehicle squad.
You really don't want to mess these people
And you
around.
Don't want to be messing with us either, Nick. A High Court judge has been shot for this car.
Exactly, so what are they going to do to me?
Well, at this rate, you might be safe and sound behind bars. She's paralysed, she might die, and you've been driving around in her stolen car. It's not looking good for you, Nick.
Never should have gotten involved.
Well, how did you get involved?
I was a banker. I got hammered in the recession, got into debt and had to trade down my car. I've just started over as an independent financial advisor. Would you take financial advice off someone who drove around in a hatchback?
Say you needed the wheels to look the part.
There's also this woman, Danny. She's a little out of my league.
Well, I doubt she'll give up her Saturdays to come and visit you in the Nick. Nick. So, about the car.
What? I asked around, found out about the Mercedes, got some cash together and met this guy in a scrapyard last night in Putney.
Is he in the album?
Just have a look, all right? Here we go.
No.
The slick-looking Nick looks levelly at one of the mugshots on the computer screen.
That's him.
It's a tough-looking, crop-haired guy.
Now, did he have red paint on his face?
No.
Thank you. An officer will show you out.
Will I get my money back?
I doubt it.
I was supposed to take Danny out tonight.
Well, tell her you've gone green. Bought a bike.
At Camden Close House in King's Cross, Ronnie arrives with some armed officers.
Righto, lads. Here we go.
Leave it, lads. They never learn.
Marty, a young guy in a woolly hat, bolts from the first floor flat and drops into an alleyway where Matt blocks his path.
Suspicion of handling stolen goods.
Marty is at MIU.
That's him. That's Eddie Wade. Look, he's the one you want, yeah? Not me.
So where is he, Marty?
I don't know.
Marty, we found a gun under the floorboards of your flat. It's in the lab right now. If it's the same gun used to shoot the judge, you're in trouble, son.
Look, I didn't shoot no judge, did I?
But you sold the car on for Eddie Wade, so you are involved, which means you aided and abetted a potential murderer.
I knew nothing about that. Yeah, we use guns to scare people, but that's it. We don't shoot them. There's no need to.
Eddie did, though, Marty. And he's not here. So unless you want to take the rap for what he did, I suggest you tell us everything you know.
Look, he'd already stolen the car when he asked me to help him. He had paint on his face. He needed me to take the car down to some dealer he had lined up. It was to be shipped abroad.
So then why is the car still in London?
Because I knew some city wanker who was looking for a posh set of wheels. 8,000 cash in hand. So I do the deal with him. I go back to Eddie or Chuff, don't he kicks off.
And kicks off about what?
It was supposed to be shipped to Africa. I told him I got us a lot more cash for it, and he said it was onto something a lot bigger that had nothing to do with the Mercedes. And I had ballsed it up.
Ballsed what up? What bigger deal?
I don't know. He just told me to sit and wait for the second half of some payment. $10,000.
With Natalie in the corridor.
Eddie Wade was supposed to receive a total payment of £20,000. He'd already had half as a down payment. Was expecting the other £10,000 to be delivered to his flat today.
For the stolen car?
No, that was a separate deal.
If it wasn't for the car, could be someone paid him to shoot the judge.
Well, it's a possibility.
Before he took off, Eddie gave Marty a mobile phone.
Someone was supposed to call that phone to make the rest of the payment.
Eddie's on the run, gone into hiding, wearing ski goggles to hide the red paint.
So we've got to put out a nationwide search for Eddie the Eagle. And organise some surveillance for his flat in case he comes back for the money. If you're right about this, we've got to work out who would want Judge Callahan dead.
Well, they were supposed to be in Suffolk till the weekend. Whoever it was must have known they were coming back early.
Well, there is one person who knew. The husband.
At the hospital?
No, I don't know him. What's this about?
OK, well, what about the name Eddie or Edward Wade?
No, why?
Well, we think someone may have hired him to shoot your wife.
Why would anyone do that?
Because she's a high-profile judge, sir.
Who exactly knew you'd be coming home early?
No one except the clerk and me.
Ronnie and Matt follows a troubled-looking Dan up an escalator.
You and your wife getting on, OK?
What?
We do have to ask these questions, sir.
Mike knew too, the concierge. Maybe he set it up because Rachel didn't tip him enough.
It's not funny, Mr.
Bloody right it isn't!
My wife's just been told that she'll never walk again because of what that bastard did, and you're suggesting that...
We're not suggesting...
We've been married for 34 years.
We're not suggesting anything, sir. We'd just like to eliminate you from our inquiries.
Callahan, I've given her a painkiller if you want to go and have a couple of minutes.
Sorry, sir, we'd like to speak to her alone.
Ronnie and Matt are in Rachel's private room. Sitting up in bed, she examines the mugshot of burly, bald-headed Eddie Wade.
That's him.
Are you sure? Mrs. Callahan, we have reason to believe that someone may have paid this man to shoot you.
Oh, that's why.
Why what?
Well, when I got out of the car, I expected him to get into it and just drive away. But he went on pointing the gun at me. So then I realized that he meant to kill me anyway.
What time did you leave Lavenham?
Oh, around 12:30.
And you got home at 2:40?
Dan got lost. We were arguing and he was being very childish about my having to come back. He insisted on taking this tacky old mirror. And you see, if he hadn't had to get out of the car and take it inside, the stupid thing, I might not be lying here now.
And that was Mr. Callahan's idea?
Yeah. It's eating him alive. But I told him he wasn't to know.
At MIU HQ.
We have one deleted incoming number taken from the phone that Eddie Wade gave to Marty Flynn. That call came from a pay-as-you-go mobile to Eddie Wade's phone at 11:45 a.m. the day of the shooting.
Well, that could be the call about them coming home early.
Yeah.
No trace yet. The phone was bought with cash on Oxford Street two Saturdays ago. The sales girl doesn't remember the buyer, so we're checking the CCTV cameras.
The Callahans left Lavenham at 12:30 p.m. Mr. C wasn't very happy by all accounts. He wanted them to spend more time together.
So he was feeling neglected.
Well, neglected enough to want to kill her.
You'd be surprised how resentment can fester in a marriage.
Well, after listening to him, I don't see it. No, I think he might actually love her.
Why don't we go and talk to the judge's clerk? Find out who knew that she was on her way home. Maybe someone else did it. And that way, Matt's romantic ideals can remain intact. Come on, sunshine.
At the chambers of Judge Callahan.
It was a conference on reporting restrictions on children's cases. Been a nightmare to arrange. I was told it would be brought forward if Judge Callahan could attend.
What time did you let her know?
Just after 11:30 that Monday morning. I felt bad. It was her first break in over a year.
So who knew that she was going to attend the conference?
It was a busy morning. I confirmed her attendance that afternoon.
She hands over a list.
But none of these could have known before 11:45 that Judge Callahan had changed the plans and was coming home early.
No.
Andrea, we're looking at the possibility that this is an attempted murder.
What?
So did the judge mention to you at all that she was being threatened?
A good few times. She rules on cases with hugely emotive issues and she's on the front line.
Could we have a look at her ongoing case files?
At MIU.
Isn't this?
Yeah, go on.
The judge was building a case against a Walter Reeves, a site manager. Now, he basically runs a protection racket on service companies. He gets them the gig on new properties in exchange for the old cash in a brown envelope. The judge was about to ruin him.
And why did she get involved?
Well, one of the companies that Walter Reeves has got in his pocket is called AeroClear. They're an aircon installation company. They do the repairs on the building the judge lives in, and Eddie Wade worked for AeroClear up until 3 years ago.
So the chances are Reeves could have known Wade and asked him to put the judge out of action.
Bingo.
But Reeves and Wade couldn't have known that the judge was coming back early, so who else knew?
The concierge knew.
When I first got my job at the apartment block, I tried to change the aircon repair company, and Walter Reeves sent a couple of heavies round to change my mind.
And did you do what he said? Are you still with AeroClear?
Yes.
Right, so you're in his pocket.
He's a nasty piece of work. And I've got family. I don't want to give evidence.
Evidence about what, Mike? Did you tell Walter Reeves that the judge was coming back early on Monday?
No. I was the one who blew the whistle on him and said that he was taking backhanders. After that, she started digging around.
Sorry, if you blew the whistle on him, then why don't you appear in the judge's case file?
Because she didn't want me involved for my own protection.
With 20-something Zaki Smith by St. Paul's.
Believe me, I'd love to help you put Walter Reeves away. I've been running Aeroclear for years, and Walder's been a thorn in my side the whole time. But Eddie Wade only did commercial work, and Walder was strictly residential. I don't see how their paths would have crossed.
So, Mr. Smith, one second. You're saying that Eddie Wade wouldn't have done any work on Judge Callahan's building?
No, we got the maintenance contract 7 years ago on her husband's recommendation.
Dan Callahan, you know him?
We used to do a lot of work together before he and Eddie fell out. Excuse me. Hello?
Dan Callahan designed a shopping mall in Fensham Keys, White Elephant. Total disaster.
Eddie Wade was in charge of installing the aircon system.
And was being a right pain in the arse.
Yeah, Callahan was all over him, making sure he did the job properly. Only he swears to us he's never heard of him.
Nobody forgets a lousy co-worker.
No, I'll bear that in mind.
Or the man you pay to kill your wife.
Just like to come in, sir. Take a seat, Mr. Callahan. Thanks for coming in. I know this must be a pretty tough time for you right now.
Look, I'm sorry about how I reacted before. It's just the idea of someone paying to kill my wife.
It's okay, I understand. Mr. Callahan, just a couple of questions, okay?
Eddie Wade's mugshot.
Do you recognise this man?
He's the man who shot my wife. He showed me this photo at the hospital.
Do you know him from before then?
No.
So you've never seen this man before?
No.
3 years ago, you designed the mini shopping mall in Fensham Keys, didn't you, Mr. Callahan?
What's that got to do with anything?
Eddie Wade supervised the installation of the aircon system.
Eddie Wade's friends say this is a very good likeness of him.
He stole a car from the site foreman. He lost his job.
I can't place him.
Or the name? Eddie Wade?
Why would I know his last name?
Well, Mr. Callahan, you see, according to the foreman on that job, you left instructions almost every day for this man. The instructions were inside envelopes with the name Eddie Wade written on them.
That was 3 years ago.
Your last big commercial commission.
Yes, well, the workforce let me down.
Well, I'm pretty sure if a workforce had let me down, I would remember one of the supervisors.
Yes. Well, I'm exhausted.
Whose idea was it to unload the mirror?
That was my wife's.
Sorry, Mum.
Matt frowns and takes a file from in front of Ronnie. He leafs through it and pinpoints something, then looks up at Dan.
She says it was your idea. She also says that you've been arguing that day.
That doesn't mean I wanted her dead. I can't believe you're doing this.
Where were you on the Saturday before you went away?
I went shopping in Oxford Street for Rachel's birthday.
What did you get her?
I couldn't find anything. She's very choosy. Sorry. I'm really sorry, it's Rachel. She's lost the use of her other kidney and something to do with the scan. Some side effect. She's getting worse.
We're sorry to hear that.
I've got to go, she needs me.
I'm not sure she needs you anywhere near her right now, sir. I'm arresting you on suspicion of conspiracy to commit murder.
Dan's in the dock in a courtroom.
Thank you. My husband was with me when I learned we had to return to the city, and he was with me continuously thereafter. He had no opportunity to make a phone call and arrange the incident. When did you take this statement from Judge Callahan?
Last night, my lady, after my client was arrested.
So my learned colleague surprises the victim with the news and extracts this statement from her while she's in shock.
In shock because of the unfairness of the charge.
The phone call only lasted 2 minutes and was made from a mobile. The defendant could have slipped off to the bathroom.
The call was not made from the defendant's mobile.
This is a bail hearing, not a trial. Your job here today, Miss Phillips, is to state your objections to bail.
The Crown strongly objects to bail on the grounds that the defendant will try and interfere with the witness, namely his wife.
That's hardly likely, as she's the one giving him the alibi. My client is willing to offer a surety of £50,000, my lady.
My lady, Mr. Callahan is a successful architect. That's nothing to him.
Most of the Callahan's money is tied up in trusts. What's accessible now is earmarked for her care.
I am willing to grant bail on certain conditions, the first being a surety of £50,000.
Judge Mary Hall is standing by her colleague.
Who's standing by her man? She must be reeling. She can't accept that her husband would do that to her.
Well, according to Slimy Simon, Dan Callahan doesn't have access to his wife's riches. He pretty much gave him a motive while getting him bail.
He got bail because of his wife's alibi. If we got anything else on him, what about his financial records? Has anything gone out?
The only big withdrawal of late from his personal account is £400. He was in Oxford Street the day the PagerGo phone was bought.
Which still hasn't been traced.
He lied about knowing Eddie Wade.
Who still can't be found.
So what the hell have we got?
Nothing. Apart from circumstantial and the alibi of a hugely respected High Court judge.
Who happens to be a very proud woman.
That could be why she's lying.
You okay, George?
Yeah? Why shouldn't I be?
In a conference room, George has his back to James and Alicia, who share a puzzled glance, then leave. Alicia is by Rachel's bedside at the hospital. Lindsay is also there.
What part of continuously don't you understand?
He didn't go into any other room.
No, we were listening to the radio when my clerk rang, and I knew that he'd be upset, so I didn't tell him that we had to leave early until the program ended at midday. Now, the call to the man who shot me was made at 11:45. Am I right?
Alicia glances at Lindsay, who strokes her mum's hair.
The kids will be here soon.
No, I don't think so. It's not the place for them, really.
To Alicia.
My mother's very tired with her treatment.
I don't need you to speak for me, Lindsay.
Lindsay looks at the floor. Alicia turns to Rachel.
Mrs. Callahan, your husband knew the man who shot you, and he lied about that. He lied about whose idea it was to park the car.
If you were before me in court right now, I would lose no time in dismissing your case on the grounds of weak and wholly insubstantial evidence.
Mom.
If you prosecute my husband, I will give evidence on his behalf.
Alicia frowns. Outside the hospital, Lindsay catches up with Alicia in the car park.
Today is her birthday.
Alicia turns to face her.
Why are you trying to destroy what little she has left? She's going through all this and Dad's not even allowed to see her.
How is their relationship, Lindsay? Did she talk to him like she talks to you?
I think she's allowed to be a bit ratty under the circumstances.
Did he mind that she was a workaholic?
Was. She intends to sue the hospital for causing renal failure.
Lindsay looks Alicia in the eye.
You've got it wrong. Dad adores her. Why would he do this to her?
To get access to her money.
Her insurance and her estate goes to my kids.
Alicia's puzzled. Lindsay's husband and kids arrive.
Now I have to tell them that their gran doesn't want to see them.
So we don't even have a financial motive?
No, but uniform have turned up an eyewitness. Wendy Carey. She lives on Mill Lane, where the Callahan cottage is. Says she was driving past their cottage at around 11:50 that Monday. She saw Dan Callahan in the garden wearing his running shorts.
The call to Eddie Wade was made at 11:45.
Whereas Mrs. Callahan insisted they were together inside at that time. Mrs. Carey also said she threw a small party in honour of Rachel's promotion the night before. Dan Callahan was drunk, introducing himself to everyone as Mr. Rachel Callahan, soon to be Lady Justice's wife.
Ouch. Not bitter at all, then.
He and his wife ended up arguing.
Sounds like every married couple I know. Him being outside isn't enough. We need motive. Why would an ordinarily loving husband suddenly do this?
Well, she had been promoted.
Yeah, not for the first time. So why snap now? What changed?
At Jordan Callahan Architects.
I had to let Dan go. Couldn't carry him any longer, not in this financial climate.
He'd lost his job here.
He was a liability. Didn't even have to buy him out. You know, this firm enough. See, Dan's a perfectionist, but his designs are all about him making his mark. He wouldn't listen to the client's needs or budgetary restraints.
His wife never said anything about him losing his job.
She doesn't know. She came here a few weeks back asking to speak to him, not to make some excuse about him talking to the client. He won that when he restored a Georgian house on Brick Lane, not long after he started out.
Was he married then?
He was funding Rachel through law school.
Talk about role reversal.
Would you say Dan resented his wife?
He wanted her to be proud of him. She was meant to retire this year, and they'd put a deposit on a plot of land in the Lake District so they could sell their properties and Dan could build their dream home. But then she got promoted.
The deposit for the Lake District plot was £25,000. And 3 weeks ago, Dan Callahan got it back for £20,000 in cash.
He must have known then he needed cash in hand to pay Eddie White. He'd already lost his job, pinned his hopes on Rachel's retirement, their future together.
She drops a bombshell about her retirement.
He started planning her death. Still. Yeah, go ahead.
They wait by a crossing.
Great, yeah, thanks for letting me know. The call that was made to Eddie Wade, cell site analysis, places the signal in Lavenham. The phone was used within 500 metres of the Callahan's cottage. Just gonna have to accept it was him now.
Have you found the phone?
No.
And did anybody see my husband on the phone?
No witnesses as yet.
So, it's obvious what happened, isn't it? Someone was following us, and they saw us loading up the car, and they made the call.
You said you were listening to the radio at the time.
We'd had an argument, and Dan went outside to cool off.
So he did leave your side?
But I could see him all the time, through the window.
Why was he in his running shorts?
Oh, because he wears them around the house. What about the man who pulled the trigger, who put me here? He's the one who should be brought to justice.
Someone hired him.
Mom doesn't need this. They can't get her medication right. They have to do more tests. She's getting weaker by the day.
I know my husband better than anyone.
Did you know he'd lost his job?
What?
Rachel stares levelly at James.
For 5 weeks, he's been pretending to go to work. Maybe you didn't know him as well as you thought, Mrs. Callahan.
Rachel shakes nervously. Her level gaze falters. In his office, grim-faced George sips from a tumbler of whiskey. James and Alicia arrive and loiter in the open doorway.
Rachel Callahan is lying.
She knows it was him. We told her the hard facts.
So I heard.
She wouldn't listen.
I think the general just sank her. I've just heard from the hospital. Rachel Callahan has asked her doctors to withdraw her medication. She wants to die.
At the pre-trial review...
Crown is concerned that the initial statement made and signed by the victim is false. We want the opportunity to cross-examine Mrs. Rachel Callahan on video.
My lady, the victim is in a great deal of pain. To cross-examine her in her hospital bed would be a terrible violation of her privacy. However, she is prepared to give evidence one last time about what happened on the day in question.
My lady, she will simply amend her story to put her husband in the clear. We need the opportunity to test this evidence so the jury can make up their own minds.
I've seen you play cat and mouse in court, Mr. Steele. You're merciless enough on the able-bodied.
If you don't let me do this, Dan Callahan gets exactly what he wants. His wife's alibi followed by her death. She is one of the most powerful women in chambers, but she's not respecting the law. She's allowing her husband to go unpunished, and that's not her decision to make. This cannot go unchallenged, my lady.
Judge Mary Hall nods.
I will allow it.
My lady, I must object.
Where would we be without setting precedents, Mr. Wheeler?
To James.
I will be watching you. If you push Judge Callahan one step too far, I will stop proceedings.
Night on a rainwashed street.
Just think what you're asking for. Doctors are going to stop her treatment tomorrow. She is already broken.
Then the one thing we can salvage from this mess is that Dan Callahan is locked up for what he did.
Yes, but you're going to be exposing her in front of a colleague. She's given everything for her career.
So did I. Having paid that price, I wouldn't choose to lie.
Before this happened, she would have said the same thing.
George, I promise I'll be careful.
In hospital...
No matter how many times you put this to me, the answer is the same. Dan didn't go out of my sight. So somebody must have been watching us.
And you started loading up the car at 11:50. The eyewitness didn't see any sign of you packing.
Well, there's your answer.
So how did this mystery someone else know you were leaving early? Whose idea was it that you parked the car that day?
Mine.
You told the police it was your husband's idea. Why are you changing your story?
Because doped up to the eyeballs.
The judge and Simon Wheeler are there.
Why are you protecting your husband, Mrs. Callahan?
Because he's innocent.
Is it fair to say that there had been a breakdown of communication in your marriage?
What is your point, Mr. Steele?
Your husband couldn't tell you he'd lost his job.
Well, that didn't matter. He was designing our dream home.
Did you know he'd taken back the deposit for the plot of land after the news of your promotion?
She raises her eyebrows.
£20,000 in cash.
Spare me the shock tactics. It's a cheap trick.
Mrs. Callahan, it is the exact sum of money that the man who shot you was promised if he killed you.
I think we should stop, my lady. The witness is clearly distressed.
Don't patronize me, Mr. Wheeler.
Are you all right to continue?
Yes.
Judge Hall eyeballs James.
Step lightly, Mr. Steele.
Mrs. Callahan, may I remind you that not only are you under oath here today, but that you also took an oath 14 years ago when you became a judge.
I am fully aware of that.
Is it fair to say that you have devoted your life to the law?
Yes.
The law is where your true loyalty lies. You've sacrificed everything else, home life, your relationships with your husband, your daughter, your grandchildren.
I thought I was here as a witness to the defense, not on trial for being a lousy wife and mother. It is also fair to say that I protected thousands of children during my time as a judge and put many a dangerous criminal behind bars.
Then how can you bear for this to be your dying act, Mrs. Callahan? Lying in a court of law, committing perjury, allowing a crime to... Allowing the man who organized your murder to walk free.
You've done that by arresting the wrong man.
I'm completely at a loss.
Then we should end this now, my lady.
I mean, what would you do?
I'm sorry.
What would you do if you were me? Imagine this was happening to someone in your court. Wouldn't you want justice? Wouldn't you want that woman to tell the truth? Wouldn't you tell her not to be ashamed, remind her that she is the victim here, that none of this is her fault?
Of course.
Then please. Tell me the truth, Mrs. Callahan. Can you be certain that you could see your husband at 11:45 when the call was made on the day in question?
Leaning forward, James watches Rachel anxiously. Judge Hall turns to watch her as well. Rachel frowns and opens her mouth to speak.
Yes. I could see. I'm sure of it.
Why are you letting him get away with this?
You have your answer, Mr. Steele.
If a high court judge cannot be relied upon to uphold the law...
That is enough.
How can you betray everything you believe in?
I am ending this cross-examination right now. We've taken up enough of this witness's precious time. I'm truly sorry, Judge Callahan, for everything.
In the corridor outside...
Now that little exercise has proved futile. I expect you'll be dropping the charges.
Not a chance.
It's fine by me. I've got what I need to get my client off. Judge Hall?
Yes, Mr. Wheeler?
She's played right into her husband's hands.
Lindsay approaches.
Did she stick to her story?
Yes.
Lindsay looks at the floor.
You know it was your dad, don't you?
So does she. Deep down.
She shakes her head.
But she'll never admit that.
Because she can't admit it to herself. Maybe she feels guilty. But not seeing how unhappy he was. She was always so busy. Dad spent my whole childhood stopping me from disturbing her. I kept trying to get her attention. And so did he. He was counting the days to her retirement.
Do you want your dad to be held accountable?
Pretty brunette Lindsay nods her head as she fights the sobs.
What I really want is for her to see me and my kids, and think we're worth living for.
She wipes away a tear.
Room 2. She's going into renal
What's
failure.
What's wrong?
Page the on-call.
Is it mum?
Immediately.
She's disconnected her dialysis machine.
In Rachel's room.
Mum!
Mum!
Rachel slumped over. Lindsay grips her hand. James and Alicia loiter in the doorway.
You're challenging Judge Callahan's mental capacity as a witness.
She attempted suicide, my lady. She's clearly far too depressed to think rationally. I would like her to be examined by our psychiatrist, Dr. Armitage.
My learned friend is resorting to underhand tactics to have this piece of evidence disregarded, my lady. Moreover, this would be an infringement of her human rights, in so much as it will have a bearing on her choice to withdraw her treatment.
The doctors have agreed to suspend the withdrawal of her treatment until this issue is resolved.
My only concern is this criminal case, I'm afraid, Mr. Wheeler. You have my permission for Dr. Armitage to examine her.
On the Strand.
She didn't answer a single question, George. Just looked right past him. Dr. Armitage has recommended that she be put on suicide watch. I used to envy her, you know. Always ahead of me on the career ladder. Banging away at the glass ceiling.
Not anymore.
There's no schadenfreude. You shouldn't have to do this to your role models.
Judge Hall frowns and stubs out a cigarette. In her judge's wig and robes, she addresses the courtroom.
I am devastated by the responsibility of this decision, but I feel I have no choice but to declare that Judge Rachel Callahan is not competent give evidence in the case of Daniel Callahan. This may well have some bearing on the Court of Protection's decision as to whether she has the capacity to terminate her own treatment. I can only hope she will forgive me for encroaching on her human rights.
Alone in the gallery, Lindsay bows her head. In the dock, Dan's eyes rove, unreadable. Rachel is asleep, sitting up in her hospital bed. Drawn and gaunt-looking, she wakes groggily. There's someone sitting nearby. Whoever it is lowers their hand. Rachel glances slowly across the room, spotting George silhouetted by a standing lamp behind him.
I should have come sooner. Is there anything I can do?
Can you get me out of here?
He stands up into the light and approaches her bed.
Where shall we go?
She smiles warmly at him.
1980. Chambers Annual Ball.
You got kicked up?
Because you got me paralytically drunk.
I haven't touched tequila since.
In a CPS conference room.
I still don't get it. It's such an extreme thing to do. I mean, maybe she'd been unfaithful.
She was. Her work. We've seen people crack like this before. If I can't have you, no one else will.
But those are crimes of passion, not cold-blooded hits. How does she deal with that?
James shrugs.
Thank you.
Simon Wheeler enters the room with Dan.
We intend to appeal Judge Hall's decision.
Of course you do. Without Judge Callahan's evidence, your client stands to go down for a very long time.
Why not just divorce her?
I love her. You fought for people in your condition to stay alive. This is new for you, but given time, you could come to terms with it.
George, I can't control my bladder. I mean, you tell me what I've got to live for.
How can someone who campaigns for human rights be so selfish in her own life? What's so special about you? It's okay for anyone else to make do, but not you. You have a future, you have your mind.
No, not according to the court. Not after you conspired to rob me of my dignity.
Oh, you lost that the moment you lied for Dan.
You know what it feels like to irritate someone because you're not as quick or as smart as they are? I hear myself whine. I never used to be like that. She speaks to me like I'm 8 years old.
You know he's guilty.
George leans over Rachel's bed.
Otherwise, you would choose to live for his sake. I know how much he means to you.
Then we had this awful row about going back. Don't make a fuss, Dan. I'd love to laze around all day and drink wine, but I'm so much better than that.
His love for me was the one thing I could rely on outside the law.
A tear rolls down her cheek. George rests his head against hers.
Then do the right thing.
Tell me the truth.
We had a row. And he stormed outside.
Make the call. I throw the phone. I burn the number. I go back to the cottage and she's cross. I'm so pumped up you wouldn't believe. Because for once, I'm in control.
And he was gone for about 20 minutes.
We get to London. And now I want to stop it, but I haven't got his number. So I make a wrong turning. Pretend we're lost.
He kept getting lost because he was deciding whether or not to...
She says, can't you do anything right? I brought the mirror. I got out. It still wasn't real. Till the concierge talked about it. And I thought, we're not so bad, me and Rachel.
Funny thing is, now that she needs you, you can't be there for her.
Dan's lips waver. By her bedside, George looks levelly at Rachel.
I think you've admitted it. There's no need for you to die.
Yes, there is. I want the Court of Protection to declare that I have the necessary capacity to terminate my treatment. And I want you to talk to them.
Rachel.
George, it is not irrational to want to die when you've been ultimately betrayed by the person you love.
Ludgate Hill. James and Alicia are with George, who's on the phone.
Right. I understand. Thank you.
Is everything okay?
The court has decided to revoke its decision. Rachel's treatment has been terminated. Won't be long.
Who's with her?
She wants her husband there.
At the hospital, George and two uniformed PCs escort Dan along a corridor. A nurse in a white dress meets them and leads them round a corner to Rachel's room. She opens the door and goes inside. Dan hesitates at the door. From her bed, which is slightly tilted up, Rachel spots silver-haired Dan. With a hangdog expression, he steps into the room, passing the nurse by the open door. He heads for Rachel's bedside. The nurse goes. The two PCs enter the room and remove their hats. As Dan leans on the railing by Rachel's bed, George loiters in the doorway. Dan breaks down in tears as he starts to talk to Rachel. She reaches weakly for him, and Dan collapses in her arms, sobbing and hugging her close. George remains solemn in the doorway. Rachel's arm falls limply onto her bedclothes, and George looks away. The characters and events in this film are entirely fictitious, and accordingly, any similarity between them and actual characters or events is entirely coincidental. Next time...
Call 999! Now!
No. Someone picked that baby up and shook it.
She's alive.
You do know about the time she overdosed the baby?
He cried loud.
Dead babies don't cry.
I didn't know he was dead, did I?
Layla was on my sofa, having sex with her boyfriend.
The only thing making me lose my temper is you!
I'll make sure the baby doesn't get in the way.
That girl didn't give a damn about that baby. I mean, it nearly crippled them financially.
I need my job.
More than your child?
So what did you do?
ITFC Audio Description.